and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham Ashby. And today we take a trip to Belize City in the country of Belize. Visions certainly has been heard all around the world. And today it's my pleasure to be chatting with Marshall Nunez, a young man whom we will get to learn a bit about as he shares his story, and you will see how talented and how applicable it is for persons with disabilities to be gainfully employed. Welcome to the program, Marshall.
It is indeed an honor and a pleasure to be invited to be a part of this program. I am excited to be a part of it, and I hope that our colleagues in the greater Caribbean, of course, in the world, can get to know a little bit about what we're doing here in Belize. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. So Marshall, tell us a bit about yourself, because I know you have been an active young man for many years. You were involved in politics, you're involved in managing a radio station, you're involved with disaster preparedness, and so much more. Tell us a little about your life before losing your vision.
Thank you so very much again. I grew up as a Roman Catholic. I went to a Roman Catholic primary school, high school, and then junior college. After leaving junior college, I went to teach. I was a teacher for 12 years. I taught at Excelsior High School, which was a school with an open door policy. I taught there for 10 years. And I left from there and I went to teach at St. John's College. St. John's College is a Catholic college in Belize, but it's one of the elite schools, or at least considered to be one of the elite schools. During the 10 years teaching at Excelsior, I was in charge of the sports program. And in that 10 years, our school sports program became a resounding success. For basketball, we won 6 championships in that 10 years. We also were able to win at the secondary level football competition, softball. We were very prominent in track and field and volleyball. That success kind of propelled me to become involved in coaching basketball at the top level. In Belize, we had the junior level. And then after coaching 2 years at the junior level, and we established a semi-professional level in Belize, and I coached there for 7 years, and we won all 7 championships. During that period, I got involved with politics, and I was elected to the city council. And in 1998 to the beginning of 2000, I was the mayor of Belize City. After leaving the city council, I became the chairman of the National Sports Council of Belize. During that time, I also became the manager of Kerm Radio, which is the first privately owned radio station in Belize. It's now a media complex. It has the radio, television, and the newspaper. Among many other things, I started having difficulties with my eyes due to glaucoma. That was diagnosed for me in 2001. I continued to be engaged. In 2006, I ran for the mayor of Belize City again, and I lost. Our party lost the election. During that time, I worked with youth. I worked at the prison. I managed the youth arm of the prison. And I was also the manager of a national youth cadet. Subsequent to that, working with young people, my sight started deteriorating. And around 2008, I traveled to the US to do surgery. But inevitably, the doctors did tell me that it was not reversible, the condition. And in late 2009, I started losing my sight. So the last time I drove a vehicle was in 2009. Since then, I got introduced to the Belize Assembly for Persons with Diverse Ability, BAPDA, which is an organization that advocates for and on behalf of persons with disability. Once I got involved with that, I was voted in as the president. I was the president of that for 2 years. important enough. Once I left as the president, Miss Roxanne Marin, who is currently my secretary, was the president, and she was the president until last year when she resigned from that position to come and be my secretary. I am now employed since March of 2021 by the government of Belize as the disability desk coordinator. I work from out the Ministry of Human Development, Families and Indigenous People Affairs. And over the past maybe 15 months, it has been very pleasing, rewarding, eye-opening for me to be here working with this sector of our population. I hope that tells a little bit about who I am.
Of course, that tells us a whole lot about you as an individual and how you have transitioned as well from being sighted, now being blind, and still continuing to function very effectively and impacting lives. So share with us what your role is as a coordinator on the disability desk. What are some of the duties and responsibilities?
Well, as the name implies, I think it is my ultimate responsibility to coordinate the stakeholder agencies. And since I was appointed to this desk in, as I said, March 15th of 2021, one of the very first things that I was able to do was to go and introduce myself to the stakeholder agencies, consult with them in an effort to coordinate them. And I think we have established now a very coordinated group of the stakeholder organizations. My division of this desk is to improve the quality of life for people that are living with disabilities in the country. And part of the mission is to do that by establishing a very comprehensive network of stakeholders, and we have done just that. I am also challenged with the responsibility to guide the government in what the government can do to improve the quality of life of persons who are living with disabilities and their families. And so my work is to do exactly that. As I tell you, I was appointed to the position March 15th in 2021. In Belize, we had municipal elections on the 3rd of March in 2021. And so in Belize, we have a mayor's association. We have 9 municipalities, Belize City, the city of Belmopan, and there are 7 towns, Corozal, Orinjuap, San Pedro, Benque Viejo, Danguilla, and Punta Gorda. On the 26th of March of that same year, 2021, the Mayor's Association had their inaugural meeting, and I asked the Ministry of Local Government to afford me the opportunity to go and address the Mayor's Association, which was granted. I went to that meeting and I asked the mayors if they can consider including disability services as part of the portfolio of their municipalities. And it was well received. Within a month's time, each of the municipalities appointed the portfolio of disability service to at least one counselor. So all the 9 municipalities in Belize now have a counselor whose responsibility includes disability services.
Excellent, excellent. Now, Belize is a huge country, and even for small islands like Barbados, sometimes it can be challenging where transportation is concerned, so that persons with disabilities and the elderly can access services. What is the situation like in Belize where transport and service provisions are concerned for people with disabilities?
Exceedingly challenging. Exceedingly challenging. As a matter of fact, in 2021, I had the opportunity of meeting with some investors from the US. And at the time, I introduced myself and some of what I'm doing as the disability desk coordinator in Belize. And they asked me, so how do you think we can help Belize? And I asked them if one of the best things they can do to help is to donate a wheelchair accessible van. And immediately they started putting the wheels in motion. And earlier this year, they donated a huge wheelchair accessible bus that in this case, it is going to be used to assist our community of persons with disabilities, but mostly in Belize City. The reason why I felt that was most important is because I also chair the Special Needs and Disabilities Subcommittee of the National Emergency Management Organization. And as we are here today, just what, about a week away from the start of the 2022 Atlantic hurricane season, I think it is important that if persons with disability, in the event that there is a hurricane or any natural disaster, that there has to be any evacuation, transportation for person, especially people who are users of wheelchair, that would be very necessary for us to have. And so that is just one aspect. A couple of weeks ago, they launched a road improvement project, the government, that is funded by, I think, the IDB and some other agencies out of the UK. The objective is to make sure that the road, and I think it's going to be about 70 miles of highway, that they're widening the road, they're putting in bike paths and pedestrian paths through the villages, they're putting in bus bays, they're going to put pedestrian crossing, and there will be some ramps as well for persons with disabilities. The project that is partly funded by the IDB, they've also invited me to take some person with disability to go and tour the route of the highway so that we can have an input in what is going to happen. In terms of the public transportation, we are not there yet. Last year, we also had some training with the Department of Transport in terms of sensitization to identifying and coping with persons with disability, especially those persons who have invisible disability. But the meeting or the training, which include our disability etiquette, but we want to ask the Department of Transport to prioritize the boarding, onboarding, and seating for persons with disability on the public transport.
Yes, I know that some countries do have seats allocated for persons with disabilities at the front of the buses. Yes. And they also have automated information on the various stops for the blind and, I would say, non-print readers. So these are some small but significant features that will allow passengers with disabilities to ride in comfort and be able to feel as though they are not being robbed of their dignity. So the work continues.
Absolutely.
So share with us now, tell us about the work relating to disaster preparedness as it speaks directly to people with disabilities. Because I know this has always been one major challenge for persons all around the world, not just for us in the Caribbean.
Our National Emergency Management Organization has been doing a very good job. They have their legislation, they have a manual, well organized. But when I got appointed to this list, I felt that there need to be specific interests for persons who are living with disabilities, particularly those with physical disabilities and those who are users of wheelchair. Similarly, the National Special Needs and Disability Committee, it's a broad committee. We have representation in all the municipalities. And the co-chair of the committee is the president of the National Association of Village Councils. For context, let me just tell you, I told you that we have two cities, Belize City and the city of Belmopan. We have 9 towns, but in Belize City, we have 192 villages. And so the co-chair of this committee, who is the president of the National Association, we were able to introduce to them certain principles as well as some of the activities that need to take place within the villages. In fact, currently, even as we're speaking here, we are working on a website. We have gotten the domain already. It's going to be the BelizeDisabilityRegistry.com. And we're hoping to register everybody with a disability and, of course, segregating it to the type of disabilities. And so because we need to have the data in order for us to develop a strategy for evacuation and for sheltering. Some of the shelters have wheelchair access. They have the ramps. And a few of them also have wheelchair accessible bathrooms. And so once there is any evacuation and transportation for sheltering, we need to know who we're going to take to those respective shelters. And the only way for us to do that is to capture the data. Belize City is the largest city. Belize City has established an IT division, and they were able to collect data, but that is specific only to Belize City. That is going to help us. And if we can, we will mimic that same structure to take it to the rest of the country so we'll be able to collect the data.
One of the useful processes which has taken place locally in Barbados with the Disaster Emergency Management Organization is a lot of the voluntary organizations, we call them district emergency organizations, they have been working on the ground and collecting data as well, which they have shared. So they're able to, most of them are able to identify where persons with disabilities live, as well as the elderly and other vulnerable individuals within the various districts and communities. So I think that that approach has certainly helped us in Barbados to readily identify persons who have disabilities, the elderly and other vulnerable populations. So that is excellent work.
Coincidentally for us in Belize, the Statistical Institute of Belize launched our national population census just last week. And a few months ago, I made contact with that office to review the data that they will collect as it relates to persons who are living with disability. The last time we had our population census was in 2010. It has been deferred multiple times, but it's actually ongoing now. And I believe that since we are more active and we reach out to them, we may get better data from that census, and so we'll be in a better position to track all of those people. So there's a kind of simultaneous activities taking place currently.
Yes. And I think that you raise a very valid point, because across the Caribbean in particular, our data collection around persons with disabilities has been a bit difficult, because one, persons or family members don't want to identify that there is a member with a disability in the household. And secondly, some of the questions didn't aptly seek to gain the information. And like you in Barbados, our housing and population census was delayed mainly because of COVID-19, because it was scheduled for 2020.
Yes, similar.
But ours is now, right. So ours is now ongoing, and the Barbados Statistical Services have incorporated the Georgetown group of questions, which will again seek to gather more relevant information around persons with disabilities. So I think we're making some good traction, and that's great. So Marshall, you're telling us that as the coordinator of the Disability Desk in Belize, that you have been able to really initiate quite a lot and get more of the private sector and other stakeholders involved in creating greater awareness and contributing to the practical development of disability in your country. What are some of the immediate needs that you see your country requires?
We mentioned transportation already. So transportation, mm-hmm. Certainly a great need. I think similarly with our sister countries within the Caribbean, employment has to be a priority. There needs to be some coordinating housing project that will create some housing area for a community of persons who are living with disabilities. Inclusive education, that is absolutely necessary. If you don't mind, last year in November, we held a first time in Belize, the National Disability Conference. And we include, as you rightfully said, stakeholders from the private sector, And we had contribution and presentation from colleagues within the region and globally. I believe that if we are able to establish policy, and our policy seems to mimic the CBR matrix, the community-based rehabilitation matrix, where we are putting priority on health, and I didn't mention health, but health is a top priority. And when we talk about health, we talk about preventative health, primary care, tertiary care, rehabilitation, and assistive devices. So health is important. Education is also absolutely necessary, inclusive education. And there is a process right now in the country to have education be far more inclusive. I think it's incumbent on me to mention this, that our current Minister of Education, his father years ago was the chief education officer, but he got blind. And 40 years ago, he established the Belize Council for the Visually Impaired. I'm saying that to say that this Minister of Education, he's very sensitive to persons with disability. And so there is great support in the Ministry of Education to see how we can make education in Belize much more inclusive. I know that the ministry a few months ago establishing the Teachers Learning Institute. And so with that platform, they're able to do much more training faster and at the pace of the teachers to go and get those level of information that is necessary to help them to be inclusive. We're also very particular about the social well-being and social protection of our population. And in that, transportation and housing and all the necessary stuff are going to be covered and captured in that area. We also look at employment. And since I'm talking about employment, we did have conversations with the Department of Labor. The Department of Labor, they also have a site, and we are hoping to get our own tab into that portal so persons with disability can apply through that agency, but that there will also be information from the public sector and the private sector as to information relating to persons with disability who are employable. And then finally, we are looking at empowering persons with disability. I was in politics, but that was before I lost my sight. But people who are living with disability also need to be empowered to have the ability to participate in these processes as well.
I quite agree with you. And as we talk about some of the needs of our citizens with disabilities, I think sometimes the point is forgotten that people with disabilities are citizens. First, they're human beings and have a right to all the services, all of what is being provided and offered in their home countries.
Indeed. You know, when we did the conference last year, one of our partners was the Belize Chamber of Commerce and Industry. A member of the chamber did a presentation at the conference, and what their research showed is that the exclusion of persons with disability from the employment sector is a loss of about almost 30% of the gross domestic product of the country, which adds up to hundreds of millions of dollars. So imagine if we are able to create that level of employment. I know you say employment, it could be wage employment, but for persons with disability, creating their own opportunity for employment, that will make a significant contribution back to the gross domestic product of the country. And so, I mean, all of these necessary information, they're vital, so we can put up the proper argument, especially to members of the private sector, that persons with disability that are employable needs to be employed.
I quite agree, because as we are recognizing, the government of any country cannot carry the full responsibility. It has to be shared.
Indeed.
So, Marshall, as we talk about disability, what's happening in Belize, what are two of your major achievements within the past year since you've taken up the position of coordinator?
I'll be very proud to say that to have the municipalities adapt disability service within their municipalities is top of the accomplishments. The conference would be a significant accomplishment too. Maybe that might be one of the highest. The objective of the conference is for us to establish a national disability policy, and we are working on that policy right now. So while the conference was an accomplishment, once we are able to develop the policy and it's accepted, I think that would be the greatest accomplishment so far. Also, the sensitization of very many people, including the municipalities, the mayor and councils, the human resource department of the municipalities, the customer care department. We also did, as I said, with the Department of Transport, with the stakeholder agencies. And there are other groups that we have done sensitization with. As I said, I work from the Ministry of Human Development. My office is actually situated within the Women's Department, and there are quite a bit of social workers. We are doing some training as well with the social workers. So the fact that we have all our local municipalities adapting disability services, which localizes the services to their area, that has been very, very important to me, I believe.
Great. Okay, so Marshall, you mentioned national policy. Did the government of Belize ratify the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities?
Yes, we signed that convention in May of 2011, and we ratified it in June. We signed and ratified, but it was the previous government, the previous administration. When I got employed, I felt that there was not much done. And so we just hit the ground running and start doing all the things that we need to do. I failed to mention that over the past maybe 7 months, I've done a national consultation across the country, listening to the challenges that face people in their local municipalities. And it's absolutely necessary, because without that, we wouldn't be able to, when we develop the policy, represent the respective challenges of all sectors of the population.
Great. And your vision going forward as the coordinator of the disability desk in Belize, what are some of the ideas that you want to bring into realization?
Once we have established the policy, we want to move towards legislation, establishing a Disability Act. And then from there to services. In Belize, we don't have a disability center. We want to establish a center where persons with all types of disability can come and will be able to function as ordinary as they possibly can. And of course, we want to be able to provide more services. In Belize, there is a need for therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy. We need to have a broader and more comprehensive medical services that would be accessible and available to persons with disability.
Well, Marshall, it has been truly informative and exciting chatting with you, learning about your work as coordinator of the disability desk in Belize and what the situation is like for persons living with disabilities in your country. And I want to commend you for the work you have done thus far, and of course, encourage you to continue doing the necessary tasks to bring realization to many dreams. And I would need the parting word with you. What advice would you give to your fellow politicians about including disability in the various portfolios?
First, I must say thank you so very much for the opportunity to be here and to dialogue with our colleagues within the Caribbean. I think in terms of the advice to politicians, the level of sensitization and advocacy that is taking place seems to be making root with our politicians, both for those that are in the administration now and others that are aspiring leaders. As I navigate the community and I meet with them, they're saying how excited they are that we're taking this direction. And they pledge their unwavering support to supporting whatever policy or legislation come on board. So I believe there is some buy-in from the politicians. And my direct advice to them is to say that persons with disability also do have abilities, and we need to live as normal a life as everyone.
Thanks again, Marshall. And I look forward to learning more about what continues to develop in your country.
Indeed, a pleasure. Thank you so very much for this opportunity.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today, my special guest, Marshall Nunez from Belize. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300 by email visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That's visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can listen to this and past episodes of Vision by going to the VOB929.com website. And I'll see you next week. So remember, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.